Welcome, 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 everyone out there. This is my podcast. My name is Mark, and I am a psychic medium by trade, by profession. And this is my podcast, and my first podcast that I'm making. And I'm excited that there's potential for anyone out there around the world who has not ever really gone to my website and know anything about me or know anything about what I do. This is sort of something, another tool, another resource for them to get to know me a little bit more. But ultimately, it's another tool and resource for me to try to help people. And that's ultimately why I'm doing these podcasts. I'm doing these podcasts because it's fun. I have a lot to talk about, especially in my field, in mediumship and psychic stuff, which is metaphysics, it's spirituality, it's paranormal, it's the supernatural. There's a lot there. There's some crossover with philosophy and religion and dogma. It's all kinds of stuff that I talk about and am interested in, and it relates all to my passion. But ultimately, these podcasts will have a central purpose, a theme, and that is my hope to inspire listeners out there by giving them an example or someone to look at and say, if he can do it, so can I. And if he can do what he loves to do for a living, maybe I should try it too. And that's ultimately what I want. That's my ultimate desire for anyone out there who's listening to this. That is the purpose of these podcasts. It's not any other real reason. I want to connect to everyone I possibly can out in the world, and especially to those people who have contemplated really their lives and how to make it better and what do they want to do to make it better. And my hope is to inspire you all. One of my influential teachers and motivators, his name is Wayne Dyer. Some of you probably have heard of this guy. He travels around the world giving lectures on inspiration and doing your life's purpose. And as the great Wayne Dyer would say, do what you love and love what you do. I actually met Wayne Dyer twice at two of his lectures. And I remember meeting him and seeing him and just seeing his aura just so white and the energy. It was fantastic. But his central goal was to promote his belief of just living your life on purpose, your purpose. Steve Jobs, who is loved and hate both. You either love Steve Jobs or hated Steve Jobs. But it is undeniable to see his impact on our culture and our society today. If you don't know who Steve Jobs is, he was the founder of Apple. He created such innovations and inventions like the Macintosh, which was the personal computer. So he didn't necessarily invent the computer, but he innovated the computer to make it marketable so that we can have a personal computer, which just was sort of unheard of really at the time, even though, you know, there was other companies out there. And it was just the beginning. It was just the dawn of this whole this idea of having a personal computer. And it was expensive and all this, that, the other. He came up with the iPod. He came up with the iPhone, which, again, even when the iPhone came out, it was a lot of money. But he integrated technologies into each other and made it, you know, it made technology cool. And that's what he wanted to do. He had this, he saw something. He said, wow, this is cool. I would like this. And I'm going to make sure that everyone wants this too. And a lot of people told him, you know, that's not going to work. just because you think it's cool doesn't mean the rest of the world is going to think it's cool. And he did have a lot of failures. I mean, he was creating some personal computers that were just too much money, and it didn't go so well for Apple. But, you know, he rebounded, came up with the iPod, the iPhone, and those sorts of things that revolutionized the way we experience, really, social technology, and even help us, you know, in our work and our careers and our jobs and all in our business and finances and stuff like that. But just endless amounts of things that came from it. But he had a quote from a conference that I'd like to share with you, and it's regarding passion, which again is my central purpose for these podcasts. He said at a conference in 2007 the following quote: "People say you have to have a lot of passion for what you're doing, and it's totally true. And the reason is because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up. It's really hard, and you have to do it over a sustained period of time. So if you don't love it, if you're not having fun doing it, you don't really love it, you're going to give up." And that's what happens to most people, actually. If you really look at the ones that ended up being quote-unquote successful in the eyes of the society and the ones that didn't, oftentimes it's the ones who were successful, loved what they did, so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit because they're sane, right? Who would want to put up with this stuff if you don't love it? So it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of worrying constantly, and if you don't love it, you're going to fail. That was Steve Jobs' quote from his conference in 2007. And it's a great quote. Whether you dislike him because he was so brash in his everyday life, because he could be brash, or you loved him for what he did and his pursuit of his passions. What you cannot deny is that he impacted society, our modern society, moreover. And, you know, no one's perfect, but the quote essentially makes sense. And it's very relevant, and it's very important about passions, because it's true. I can relate to his quote, because there's nothing easy about being a psychic medium in terms of criticism, or, you know, people saying that it can't be done, that people just don't understand how you can make a living, and there's all kinds of things that come along with doing anything that is out of the ordinary. You always, always will be vilified criticized. However, there's a flip side to that. Yes, you'll be vilified, but you'll also be praised. You'll have your adversaries, but you also have people who love you and people who genuinely appreciate you. And when you get those people, you realize who exactly your audience is. You realize who you want to touch and why you want to do this. I cannot describe to you the amount of joy that I get when I'm doing a reading. I can't describe it to you because it makes me really understand what family is all about. When I connect a deceased loved one in the spirit world in a reading to the client or sitter sitting beside me or in front of me or on Skype, and there's a reunion and a sort of celebration of this reuniting of the souls, there's a joy about it that it's remarkable. And it's great. Some people tell me that they feel it feels like they're in a dream when they're in a reading, when they're sitting there and I'm there. You know, I'm describing evidence in the reading that this is their spirit, their deceased relative or friend in spirit, and I'm describing personality characteristics, I'm describing physical characteristics, I'm describing how they passed, symbols, memories, and advice. Some say it feels like they're in a dream when they're experiencing this, and it's unreal. It's unreal. So, to me, I know exactly what they're experiencing. They're raising their consciousness because it's a process. There's a joy about the process that is unmatched, but it's not unique to mediumship, although it is unique to mediumship. But I would say this: when you follow your passions, when you do what you love and love what you do, there's a joy about that that cannot be replaced, it cannot be bought, it cannot be reasoned with. It's undeniable, it's unique. Which is the same about you. For those of you listening out there who are interested in stuff like this, who are interested in a number of things that I talk about, which are metaphysical, psychic, spiritual, paranormal, supernatural, but you're also out there because you love following what it is that you were born to do. You have a desire and a true belief that it's important to follow your passions. It's important to live your life fulfilling your talents and gifts that you were born with, and really embracing life. There's a difference between living and being alive. For those of you out there who are interested in all these things or just one of these things, please listen to this broadcast, to this podcast, and the ones coming in the near future that I will be publishing and posting. I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that when times get tough, and they will, no matter what, that this is just another resource for you to kind of lean on, to listen to remind yourself that you have to keep going. And I know you'll have a lot of critics, and I know you'll have a lot of people saying, don't follow your passions for your job, or for your career, or for your work. Just do what's safe. Be the engineer, be the plumber, be the construction worker, be the mailman, be the secretary, office assistant. Do the safe jobs, because those safe jobs are secure and they pay the bills. And if you want to do your fun stuff, just do them on the weekends or as a hobby, right? Well, I suppose you could do that. You know, that is true. I mean, Wayne Dyer has said, you have to look at yourself and say, does it feel natural? So if your passion was to become a football player in the National Football League, that's a professional football player, you have to ask yourself, does this feel natural? And if you're 5'6" male and you weigh 110 pounds and you're an adult male, you have to really look at yourself and say, is this natural? Does it feel natural to me to really be able to be blessed with the gifts to actually be a professional football player? And you have to be real. Like, if you're not born to do something like that, then obviously you have to find a different way to fulfill those passions. And there are a lot of ways. You could do a lot of things that will fulfill your passion for football. Maybe it's playing in a rec league. Maybe it's being a coach. Maybe it's being a sports writer. Maybe it's being a sports psychologist. There's so many different ways to approach that. But you don't have to give it up completely. But this has to make sense. But I encourage all my listeners out there that if you have the capability, or just the mere chance, the smallest chance in the world, that perhaps you could make a living doing something you really, truly love to do, if there's just a slimmer of hope, entertain that. Try. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Jay Krishnamurti was a philosopher from India. He was just an amazing lecturer. He would lecture, travel the world, and talk about things like passion. And there was one time he was at a, one occasion he was at a lecture, and there was a bunch of kids there, children, and they were very smart children, much more mature beyond their chronological age suggested. They were probably about 10 years old, but very intelligent and very wise even for 10 years old. And Jay Krishnamurti asked the crowd of children, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to do for a job and a career? What do you think should you do? And one of the children said something to the effect of, well, I'm going to do the career that my parents told me to do. It's going to be a good job. It's going to be safe and secure. And then if I want to do fun stuff, my hobbies, I'll do it part-time or as a hobby when I'm not working full-time. And that's the way to do it. And Jay Krishnamurti was like, oh, interesting answer, especially for a young kid to think about these sort of things. But he said to the young child, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Life is not always that way for everybody. It's totally unique for everybody. It may seem like the best, logical, safest approach to handling stuff like passion and a career, and it may make sense on paper. However, how do you know? And he looked at the children, the group, the crowd, and he said to all of them, how do you guys know? How do you know? How do you know that's the best alternative and best route for you to take? How do you know? And the kids said, I don't know. We don't know. And Jay Krishnamurti looked at all of them and raised his tone of voice and said, then go find out. Go find out. Don't listen to your parents. Don't be the engineer or the fireman and all this, that, the other. If that's not what you love, don't do it. Don't listen to what everyone else has told you. You don't know. So why would you do something you don't know? You don't know. Find out. Find out. Don't read about it and think that's how it goes. Find out. How do you know? And he would always do this. He would always challenge people to experience. And a long time ago, I had a meditation right in the beginning of my early development, you know, when I was totally new to the concept of providing readings and meditation and psychic stuff. And I was in deep meditation. I talked to God. And I haven't done it many times, but I was told true knowledge comes from experience. I was told this, and I never forgot it. It was such an immense message for me that will always be with me for the rest of my life. And it was this quote, true knowledge comes from experience. And it just captivated me completely. It totally captivated me to hear that. True knowledge comes from experience. And that's totally true. And I think that when you don't really believe that quote, I don't think you truly can experience being alive. I really don't. I don't think you're truly alive unless you embrace that concept of true knowledge comes from experience. I don't think that's what being alive. If you cannot understand that and you cannot follow that, I'm not quite sure you're alive. I know you're living, but I'm not quite sure you're truly alive. And as Wayne Dyer would say, don't die with your music still left in you. Don't die with your music still left in you. And that's my challenge for all of you, for this podcast and going forward. No matter what topic I'm talking about, because a lot of these podcasts, or actually all of them, are not scripted. They're improvisations, which is sort of inspired by my brother who does improv. He does improv on a professional platform, and he told me, he said, I want you to do these podcasts, but be completely unscripted. Don't be contrived at all. Just go out there and do it. Just pump out podcasts. And do it because you love it, not because It's a marketing tool or resource, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing these podcasts so I can touch people out there who, around the world, who are contemplating their lives. And I think mediumship does that as well. And for those of you who don't really understand what psychic means or what being a medium means, I'll explain that to you. A psychic is someone who has abilities to pick up things and senses and utilize senses beyond the normal sensory perceptions. So a psychic can sometimes see things that are beyond space and time, such as events from the past, current events, and future events. Some psychics can. They're all different, though. Sometimes they hear these things, sometimes they feel these things, sometimes they just know these things, and those are different abilities. Ultimately, they do all kinds of interesting things. There's remote viewing, which is a psychic ability and gift, which is the ability to see and experience a location that you're not physically there, present. There's precognition, and the ability to channel future outcomes. That's a whole different channeling of future events. Is a whole different psychic gift. There's empathy, to feel the emotions of a lot of people around you. There's medical intuitives who can actually pick up ailments and diseases and all that you're experiencing. But mediums, you know, I call myself a psychic medium, and I know that it's redundant. But I use the term psychic medium because there's a lot of people out there who say, well, if you're a medium, you're not psychic. So it's a little bit of a miseducation about what exactly being a medium is. And truth be told, there's a lot of mediums out there who don't ever want to talk about anything that's psychic related. And I'm not totally opposed to that. So I call myself a psychic medium because if a client or a person asks me about something that I can do on a psychic level, then I would entertain that. Remote viewing is not a medium gift. Remote viewing is a psychic gift. It's not a medium gift. A mediumship gift is a spiritual gift. And this is not my opinion about all this stuff. This is after research and networking from a ton of people out there who are both psychic or medium, and researching and studying the great mediums in the history of our field, and researching psychics in our field throughout history. And this is where I'm getting this from. It's not just my opinion, believe me. I'm not that narrow-minded or just that way. I really wanted to validate, and I really wanted to study exactly what I do for a living. And mediumship is the ability to be the intermediary between the physical world and the spiritual world, the world of the spirit. Whether you call it the next dimension, whether you call it heaven, whether you call it nirvana, I communicate with your deceased relatives and friends no longer existing in this physical world. And I don't like dial up a spirit. You sit down, and whoever comes through to give you messages. I don't control or conjure. You know, I'm not dialing on a phone a spirit and saying, Peggy, you know, Jim's here and it's time for you to talk to him. You know, I don't have a leash around the spirit's neck, and I'm not able to really decide who's coming through. It's up to them. I am just the mere tool and instrument. I am just an instrument. George Anderson, who's a famous medium, always says that. He goes, I am just the mere instrument. And he's totally correct when he says that. My job as a medium is to provide evidence. So I attempt to provide what we call evidential mediumship, which is to provide evidence that this truly is the deceased loved one that you may or may not have really, really known very well. So I provide you evidence. Most of the time, obviously, you know who they are very, very well. But sometimes, you know, it could be in-laws. Or it could be, you know, your best friend's parents that you didn't really know so much. Or maybe you weren't born yet, and here they are. You know, so it's not always that way. You know, so there's a lot of people who sit down for my readings, and I start talking about a spirit who has crossed over, and they'll say to me, well, I didn't know Grandpa, so that can't possibly be him. And I, of course, have to tell them, that's not exactly how this works. Just because you didn't know Grandpa doesn't mean that this grandparent loves you. It doesn't mean anything. You know, they're in the spirit world. They're always looking out for you. You know, even if it's like an in-law's grandparent, there's a reason why they're coming through. Not only do they care about you, even though you're an in-law, but maybe they have a message for, you know, their family. And there's, you know, I could go on and on and on about why certain spirits come through, and there's a variety of reasons. But in any event, my job is to provide evidence of the validity of the actual spirit coming through. So I tried to describe how they passed, or the ailments or diseases or the cause of death, as best to my capability. I provide personality characteristics. I try to provide physical characteristics, some memories they may have shared with you or others. They all always, most of the time, the spirits will offer advice. Not always. Not every spirit is the same. And they, of course, want to come through because they love you. And more so, they want to hear you say you love them. And that's why they decide to come through. And I'm lucky that I'm able to be a conduit or an instrument of this message. So, similar to a psychic senses, I have senses at a mediumship level and a spiritual level that I can see, hear, feel, taste, touch, smell, either symbols or situations or whatever the case may be, that they're trying to communicate to me. So this is like psychic charades, if you will. They'll provide me, you know, communication, symbols in a variety of ways, and they'll use different senses of mine to do so. If I smell fragrance, I'll have to describe the fragrance. If I hear a name, I'll have to tell you what I hear. If I see something, if I see them, or if I see them holding something, I have to describe that. If they give me symbols of something they may or may not have liked when they were living, maybe it's symbolic to you. You know, these are ways for them to provide evidence that this is truly them. So it's an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. It's fascinating. It's interesting. I love it. And the pure joy of the reuniting of family members or friends is just great. It's a celebration time. It's like a party. As Mavis Patilla, a famous medium who travels the world doing the same job as I do, she says it's like a party. It's like, you know, a big party for her, because the joy that is there during this process is just remarkable. There's nothing like it. It's so immense, the joy that comes from providing psychic medium readings. So that's a little bit about what I do, and there'll be other shows out there where I talk about a lot of different things in the paranormal, in the supernatural, in the metaphysical world, and topics that are related to that. I'll also talk about, again, passions. I'll talk about the importance of it. I'll talk about spirituality. I'll talk about a variety of things, so make sure you look at the description of the podcast to see exactly what the theme is, because I'll be doing a lot of different things. I also wanted to add the importance in my world, in my life, of positive thinking. And it is such a crucial, major factor in my life that I feel that the need to let everyone else know how crucial and important it really is. When I'm on social media, whether that's Facebook or some other resource or tool, I often post, almost daily, not quite daily, positive affirmations or intentions or purposes of my day. But it's really, I post these phrases or these quotes or these affirmations for you. It's not really related to me. Sometimes it is. But the real purpose of it is to broadcast this positive outlook, this positive thought, this intention, this purpose of the day or week, so that I am creating a social web, a social network of positive thought to ultimately manifest exactly what you're desiring and you want in your life. That is my hope, that is my intention, that is my desire. On Facebook, please look for me, Mark Troy. Look for me on Facebook and add me. And I totally seek out and like, and you know, I'm support anyone out there who's posting daily affirmations or positive thoughts or perspectives or beliefs that is fulfilling or facilitating evolution in a positive direction. That is what I love. I know that positive thinking equals manifesting positive results, positive desires. I know this. I know this from experience because I do daily affirmations. And I'm here to tell you, I know so many people in the world who do daily affirmations, and they manifest what they desire so much more frequently than people who don't. It's overwhelmingly. And they desire what they exactly were looking for and wishing and hoping for. But you have to do it. You have to make a commitment to make this a part of your life. This is a new lifestyle. The way you think creates your reality. As Wayne Dyer would say, when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change. Louise Hay is another example. Made her entire career on affirmations. She is the juggernaut, powerhouse publisher of spiritual books. If you ever are looking for any ideas on what you should do as far as affirmations on a daily routine, Google her. You should be providing or saying or writing daily affirmations regarding things you want to keep that are going very, very well in your life that you're grateful for, such as good health, safety, clothes on your back, roof over your head, family, friends, job, romantic relationships, etc. Every category of your life, you should try to sort of, you know, put out there to the universe that you want either more or sustain what's already working. And there's lots and lots of endless amounts of affirmations out there. This has got to be a habit of yours. And if you don't really make affirmations a part of your life, then you must understand this. You must have this belief and this knowing that your desires will come true. If you have that real strong belief in knowing that the world, that the universe and God and spirit will provide for you, that is essentially the fuel of manifestation. The affirmations is another tool, but you can say and write all the affirmations you want on a daily schedule, and they won't come true if you don't fully believe that they'll actually come true. Deepak Chopra, who's another great resource for me of inspiration, He always says faith is a cover up for insecurity. You know, and it's an interesting way of looking at it, because he talks about knowing. He says, you don't have faith in electricity. You know it's there just because you don't see electricity. You know, you don't actually see it on a daily, the actual electricity itself. But you know it's there. Things are working because of electricity. It's a knowing. You don't have faith or you don't have to believe in it, but you know, because you know it. Interesting way of looking at it. Positive thinking. You know, I can't tell you how many times I see on social media people posting and complaining about stuff that's happened to them. Like a car accident, like their bumper got, you know, dented, or that they got a bad haircut, or they were late for work, or that, you know, they owe another bill to a credit card, or, you know, all these things that are just, in the grand scheme of things, make zero difference. And if you focus on those things, you are running away from what you want. There's no amount of worrying in the negative that will ever manifest anything positive. It's completely counterproductive. Is useless. You're wasting your time. All you're doing is wasting more time. I choose not to be a part of that. You will never catch me on social media posting anything like that. Ever. Never, ever, 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 ever. Never. Because I know the power of the human word. I know it. Look at every religion out there. Look at all the cultures and philosophies and dogmas and see how important the power of prayer and ritual and word and affirmations and spells and magic and all these things and curses, they all have words. You know, there's a sacred, powerful power behind word, because it carries so much energy with it. You know, whether it's written word, whether it's verbal word, whatever. But especially on social media, you post something on social media, you post something on your Facebook or your Twitter that's negative, not only you're putting yourself in a bad mood, but everyone else who's reading it, it puts them in a bad mood. And now you're just multiplying and amplifying this negative energy out to the universe, and it's out on the social web. You're creating a web, a huge social network web of this down, ugly, nasty, negative energy. Why would you want to do that? I do not want to waste any precious time of my life on anything I don't like at all. Zero. I'm not revengeful at all, only because it doesn't make sense to me. Like, why would I spend any second of my life seeking revenge on something or someone who did any harm or wrongdoing to me? That's not going to get me what I want. I'm wasting my time. I'm just wasting time. That's all I'm doing. And it's not deep. It's very shallow. It really is. And in the grand scheme of things, when you look back at your life, what are you going to look at when you're, you know, on your porch in your late ages? Are you ever going to look back and say, huh, remember when I was 21 years old and I had a flat tire? Oh my gosh, that was so horrific. Or are you going to really say, man, that was awesome that I had children. Man, that was awesome that I had a career that I really loved. Man, that was awesome I fell in love. You're going to look at the big, important things. You're not going to think about the petty, small, little things that made life a little bit more stressful. So why choose to think about it now? It is worthless, and it won't get you anywhere. So I challenge you, my audience out there from around the world who's listening to this podcast, and I'm challenging you from any podcast going forward to follow your passions. And I really want to challenge you to do your passions as your career and your job. That's what I really would like. Because not only will you be more fulfilled, but you also will be a beacon of hope. You'll be another example for everyone else out there to look at and say, huh, Well, if he did it, so can I. You are unique. Whatever your passions are, whatever your gifts and talents are, they're unique. So it only makes logical sense that you would utilize them for your career. Because no one will ever replace you. You are not ever going to be duplicated. Ever. Neither is your passions. Your unique frame of reference and your passions are solely yours. Larry Bird, a famous Boston Celtic NBA player, once described Michael Jordan. He actually described him as God disguised as Michael Jordan. But he also added this when asked, like, his opinion on if there will ever be a better basketball player than Michael Jordan to play the game. Because if you don't know, Michael Jordan is, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. Larry Bird was one of the greatest of all time as well. And Larry Bird said this about the idea of somebody being better than Michael. Larry Bird said, "There will be someone who can run faster than Michael Jordan. There's going to come someone who can jump higher than Michael Jordan. There's going to be a player out there who can shoot better than Michael Jordan. There'll be somebody out there who will dunk better than Michael Jordan. But believe me when I say this," and I'm paraphrasing Larry Bird. He said, "There will never, ever be another Michael Jordan." And that's so true. You cannot duplicate, you cannot replicate who you are. You are so unique. No one will ever be like you. Anyone out there who's listening to this, you have to look inside yourself and really be honest. Are you doing what you love and love what you're doing? And if you're sitting there listening to this, get honest with yourself. Don't look at the rest of the world and say, well, everyone else is playing it safe. Well, everyone else is doing the jobs that pay the bills, and I'm just going to try to get by in life and live till I die and play it safe. Get honest with yourself and realize this, that when you get to the end of your life, you don't want to ever look back and have any regrets. As Wayne Dyer would say, don't die with your music still left in you. Don't do that. I challenge you to look inside yourself. In mediumship, they say the great ones, the great mediums of all time, they say that the soul of the individual cannot possibly be a medium. You cannot be a medium until your soul is ready. Until the soul says, yes, I've achieved an awakening and enlightenment that I can do this. I am ready. The soul will not be able to do mediumship unless it is truly ready. And I believe that it's so much like passions for everyone else. You gotta look inside yourself and feel inside yourself and really feel that inner joy and say to yourself, am I really alive? Am I just living? I believe we have two purposes in our life. Do what it is that makes you happy the most. Do your passions. Fulfill your passions. Maximize your talents and gifts and fulfill your passions. Fulfill it to the best of your absolute capability. And the second purpose that I believe everyone on this planet has is to leave this planet making it just a little bit better than when you came in. What does that mean? That means just be kind. You don't have to be a humanitarian that travels the world and saving the poor and fighting all these diseases and coming up with cures. And you don't have to go to that extent. But were you kind? Did you help, or were you just a little bit nicer to at least someone and impacted their life just a little bit to make their life a little bit better? If you can do that, if you can make someone's life just a little bit better, a little bit more pleasant, anyone, I don't care who it is, then you've done your job. I will leave you with that today. Thank you for listening. There'll be other podcasts to come. please go to my website at www.marktroymedium.com. I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, but go to my website, www.marktroymedium.com. Just go to it. Just look at it. I don't care what you do with it, but just look at it. That would mean a lot to me. And comment. Email me your thoughts, your questions, concerns, and maybe I will address some of them in my podcasts. Okay? Sounds good. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you guys on the next podcast. Take care. Goodbye now.